All right. Well, today is a special day. You know, I look forward to water baptism kind of the same way I look forward to baby dedication. It's one of those special services where, you know, where you get to see people celebrating what's happened to them. And so, you know, it does seem that a lot of modern churches, at least for a long time, didn't talk much about water baptism. Mainly, you know, and most churches actually didn't put a baptismal in their church, you know, because it took up room and different things like that. You know, I think there's been a reemergence, but I know I was baptized across the street over there in the Ram Apartments in the pool, you know, because that's what we used at the time. You know, that was the body of water. There is no baptismal in the RMA building. That's where the church was. There's also none at the NRC where we had church there for a while. But thank God that we have the super baptismal up here. I mean, this is like the deluxe version of a baptismal. In fact, if you ever get a chance to go check that out, I mean, it's like, you know, I've never seen a baptismal like what we got. I mean, it almost looks like a hot tub, but there's no jets coming out the thing. It's just, it's you know, a lot of times you can't see a whole lot. Sometimes, I know I was privileged of, you know, being one of the first people to dunk them, and everyone's feet kept coming up, and, you know, people were splashing things out. But, you know, actually, this is the first time I've actually got to preach the baptism message. Usually I'm the one that's putting people under the water. So it's, you know, an interesting thing. And so I do want to talk about what water baptism means, because a lot of people actually have no clue. Well, why are these people getting dunked underwater? That, you know, what's going on? Well, the first account of baptism in the Bible actually occurs in the New Testament with John the Baptist. And for some of you that want to know that John was the original Baptist, just want to let you know. So if you want to know who was the first Baptist, obviously it was John. It even says so in the Bible. All right. And I mean, you know, that's his last name, the Baptist. Just want to let you know. So we read the first account in Matthew chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Actually, everyone here is in New Living Translation, just because I figured I'd make it more new and living today for you guys. And so Matthew 3, 4 through 6 in NLT says this. John's clothes were woven with coarse camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. So I guess that whenever we baptize, we should wear camel hair and leather belts. And that's what we do up there, if you know. No, I'm just kidding. You know, some people are interested in what people wear. But anyway, it says, for the food he ate were locusts and wild honey. So we eat locusts and wild honey, you know, on baptismal days. Now, here's what I want to get to. It says, people from Jerusalem and from all over, all of Judea and all over the Jordan Valley went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. And I just want to let you know, the Jordan River is not the cleanest river in the world, but it didn't matter. It wasn't about the river. It was about the experience that happened when they were baptized. Anyway, this is the first account that we have of water baptism, and it's in the New Testament. Water baptism is not taught as an ordinance in the Old Testament, because this was an ordinance of the New Testament church, primarily because what it means. It says, since being born again was not possible unto death, unto the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, there was no reason to teach baptism in the Old Testament. Now, there are some types and shadows in the Old Testament, but we don't have time to go into that. If you want to read about that, go to Google, types and shadows of baptism in the Old Testament, and you can pull some of those things up. All right? Matthew 3:11 talks about this. This is what John says. He says, I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I am not worthy even to be his slave and carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Obviously, it's talking about Jesus. Now, the baptism in water of John the Baptist was a baptism unto repentance and acceptance of the gospel of the coming Messiah, who John had not met yet whenever, you know, he first started this. When Jesus came on the scene and asked John to baptize him in the River Jordan, John suddenly realized who and what his baptism was all about. So let's talk about the mandate of water baptism. Now, if you haven't heard the word mandate over the last year and a half, I don't know where you've been. Water baptism is actually a mandate, if you didn't realize that. Now, this is not a mandate from your president, your governor, your mayor, or your city council. This is a mandate from Jesus Christ himself. All right, and so some of you probably haven't realized what a mandate really is. A mandate is actually an order or a command. All right, a command is something that must be followed. And we see obviously in the military circles, you know, they give a command and they follow it. And, you know, some people don't know how to give the right commands. That's why we screw up things like Afghanistan, but that's a whole other thing. All right. But let's look at what the scriptures have said concerning baptism. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says this. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Now, these are actually the last few verses in Matthew. Anyway, so I have been given all the authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always and to the end of the age. So, you know, Jesus says, I am the one that has all authority, and he gives the command to the church to practice this ordinance of baptism. I mean, that was a command that we had. He told disciples to go out and to baptize. And it's interesting that a lot of churches, for whatever reason, got away from that for a lot of times. And so, you know, water baptism was obviously a part of the process of becoming a follower of Jesus. And Jesus was the one who mandated or who commanded us to do that. Obviously, that we have read or we see that Jesus Christ himself was baptized when he began his actual ministry part of his life. That's whenever he first went to the ministry. Matthew 3, 13 through 17, once again from the New Living Translation, it says this, then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John, I like the New Living because it says this, but John tried to talk him out of it. Because he says, I am the one who needs to be baptized by you. So why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. So right there, it says that God, you know, kind of requires baptism. So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, as Jesus came out of the water, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove and settling on him, and a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. Now, can you imagine that? I mean, they were sitting there, you know, I guess they're in the Jordan River, and all of a sudden a sound from heaven came. I mean, that would be an amazing, you know, baptism to watch. I mean, I love watching people getting baptized, but can you imagine being there that day when Jesus got baptized? How incredible it was, because, you know, it was a foreshadowing of what's going to happen, you know, his death, burial, and resurrection, you know, and what we do is an example of what Christ did. And if we're really a follower of Christ, wouldn't we want to do what Christ did? Wouldn't we, you know, that? And so, you know, it's important to understand the reason for being water baptized. It's important to carefully consider what the Bible says about it. Jesus himself was baptized. He was not a sinner. Now, see, we were sinners, but Jesus was not a sinner. Yet he humbled himself in obedience to identify with us and give us an example to follow. And so Jesus gave us many examples to follow, and one of them is to be baptized. Now, like I said, a lot of times that we don't teach this, and it's important, I think, that we understand why these people are being baptized. And it's also, understand why you might want to be baptized if you haven't been. All right? A command is something that requires obedience. All right? Since Jesus left a final command for us to be baptized as disciples and to baptize others to make them disciples, there is nothing stopping us doing the right thing and obeying his wishes for us on this matter. Baptism demonstrates our love for Jesus. You know, it shows how much we love Jesus. Now, it's interesting to read John 14, 15. In this example, it says, if you love me, obey my commandments. Well, one of his commandments was to baptize and be baptized. And I think that's important to understand that was one of the commandments. Now, early Christians called baptism a sacramentum or a sacrament. We've heard those words, sacrament. And so what does sacrament really mean? All right. Sacrament is the Latin word for a soldier's oath of absolute devotion, allegiance, and obedience to his commander. And so being baptized, you know, is a sacrament saying that I have allegiance to Jesus Christ. Another sacrament we celebrate in our church or the church is the Lord's Supper. And it's a devotion to Jesus. Now, the Lord's Supper tells us, you know, whenever we do that, as often as you do this. There's no telling how often you do it. It says, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. Now, baptism is an experience that we have, you know, usually one time, but there are some times where people make a rededication to God. And they feel as doing the rededication, you know, there, but they want to do something public and they get rebaptized, and it's okay to do that. All right. And, you know, I know people have been baptized many, many times. You know, maybe they rededicated to God a lot of times. I understand that. Now, sometimes too, you know, we baptize young people. I believe is our age 12. Is that what we do here in 9? You know, so, you know, we believe that, you know, here at Rainbow Bible Church that you need to be at least 9 because, you know, that's when you start understanding what it is. But a lot of times people get baptized as a child and it was a real special experience for their parents, but it wasn't that special experience for them because they didn't really understand. It's just like you know, if you were dedicated as a baby, that was for the parents' sake and you probably had no choice about the matter except for maybe you threw up on the pastor or something like that, you know, when it happened or you screamed and hollered when dad tried to hold you. I did that a lot when I was a kid too, so don't worry about it. Even some churches actually try to baptize as a baby or whatever, but there's not really meaning to that. We have to understand the meaning of baptism and what it does because, you know, it's not just something we do. I think a lot of times that we as Americans or modern day Christians, you know, we do a lot of things without meaning. It's just like, you know, we have a confession that a lot of people make. This is the day the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Many, many Christians wake up every morning and say that. But then they, like I said, they go and scream at their kids and their wife and everybody at work and everything. They're not rejoicing about the day. They're just saying it. But, you know, baptism should actually be a meaningful experience, you know, because it's a meaningful thing, all right? So it's a sacrament of, you know, like I said, the Latin word is an oath, absolute devotion, allegiance, obedience to his commander. Now, what is the method of water baptism? Because the method of water baptism is one of the most argued points concerning this subject. I mean, some people want to sprinkle, tinkle, or whatever. But the Bible is really clear on what it takes to be baptized. And because it's clear is why there are a lot of churches that choose not to have a baptismal service because they don't have what's needed to baptize. Well, baptism requires water. And, you know, not just a bottle of water. It requires plenty of water. Now, if we actually, sometimes if you figure out what a word really means, then maybe you would actually understand the word. So I don't really know where some of these churches get this. But the Greek word baptizo means to plunge, to drown, or to sink. Now, no one needs to actually drown the candidates. But there are a few, you know, funny videos that we've seen, you know, online where some of the candidates seem to be, you know, drowning or the pastor drops, you know, and holds them under too long or whatever. But it means to put, you know, to plunge, to drown, you know, to dip them in the water. I mean, so there should not be, you know, when you look at the meaning of a word, there shouldn't really be an issue there because we should understand what it really means. That means to put them in the water, immerse, things like that. John chapter 3, verse 23 once again talking about the original Baptist, John. It says, at this time, John the Baptist was baptizing Anon near Salem because there was plenty of water there and people kept coming to him for baptism. So John the Baptist found places with plenty of water. It didn't say that John had a bottle of water and sprinkled, you know, these people. You know, he had to immerse them, which is the whole meaning of baptism. All right? And so if you've only been sprinkled, maybe you need to get dunked. All right? Anyway, baptism requires going down into the water. All right? Into the water. Meaning it's not just standing in the water. I mean, you know, you can stand in the water, but it needs to go into the water. Acts 8:38 says this. It says, he ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. So they went into the water, all right? But also, baptism requires coming out of the water. See, you go down, and you come out. Verse 39 says, when they come up out of the water, meaning they went under the water and came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch never saw him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. You know, it's interesting how, you know, a lot of people, whenever they come out of the water, they begin to rejoice. Now, when Jesus come out of the water, actually, you know what? Let's just read that, because it's my next one. Matthew 3:16 says this, after his baptism, as Jesus came out of the water, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. You know, a lot of times, that whenever you come out of the water, there's a supernatural experience. I mean, that's the whole meaning, because if you never come out, you don't finish your baptism. Of course, you get drowned, but, you know, that's a whole nother situation. So what is the meaning of water baptism? The meaning of baptism is this. It's the complete surrender of everything you are and everything you have to follow Jesus Christ and to be obedient to him. Having said that, what does that mean exactly? Baptism declares that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. It is a public confession of your faith and commitment to Jesus Christ. It is the next step after salvation through repentance and faith. And it's an important foundation for the Christian life. Water baptism is a practical demonstration of a spiritual reality that has already taken place in your life. So it's an outward expression of something that's already happened on the inside, you know, whenever you came to Jesus. But it's making a public declaration. And I said a lot of times, too, people will get rebaptized when they decide to rededicate themselves to the Lord. Well, you know, because a lot of times, too, you realize you can get saved in your own home simply by Romans 10, 9, and 10. You know, but water baptism is a public declaration of, you know, I'm going to follow Christ. You know, I'm going to imitate Christ. And so, you know, it's the next step after salvation. Baptism identifies us with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. All right, it identifies us. Romans 6, 3 through 8. I know I have a lot of scriptures here, and, you know, I'm trying to get through a lot of them, you know, because, but it's important to understand, because a lot of times, I went to another baptism service, and I didn't really get it. I thought it was pretty cool, people coming in and out of the water. I thought that was kind of a cool thing, but I didn't really understand. And I think that sometimes we don't understand. We just think, well, this is something we do. You know, it's something everybody does. But we need to understand, because if it doesn't have meaning to us, did it really do anything for us? Baptism needs to have meaning to us. And it also, you know, has to have meaning. You know, that's why I enjoy, attending someone's water baptism. You know, obviously, if it happens to be a family member, it has meaning to you. But even that, it's like, you know what? That person is making an outward expression of what's going on the inside. Because you can't always see what's going on the inside of a person. But when they do that, it's a public declaration. You know what? I'm a follower of Jesus. And, you know, Romans 6, 3 through 8 says this, or have you forgotten that when you were joined with Christ, Jesus, in baptism, we joined with him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we also will be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. Many of you have sung that song, no longer slaves to sin. But for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know that we will also live with him. We need to understand that baptism isn't some magical, a mystical act. The water isn't magical. The pronouncement of in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit isn't magical. And the person performing the baptism is not magical. You know, because sometimes we think, well, so-and-so baptized me, or I got baptized, you know, at this church. It doesn't matter where you got baptized, because it's not about who baptized you, where it happened. It's about what has happened on the inside of you and what you're showing forth, you know, to your fellow believers and your fellow church members, you know, that you know what? I'm going to live like Jesus. I've died to my old self and I've come up new. And, you know, and I actually think that we should be more excited when we come out of the water. And maybe we don't see a dove come and land on our shoulder and Jesus, I mean, and the Heavenly Father doesn't speak in audible voice and whatever, but it's the same experience that Jesus had. You know, and it's an awesome experience. But, you know, like I said, it's not some magical thing. Through baptism, we identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and that's what makes baptism effective. You know, a simple way to explain baptism is baptism is a symbol of your new life as a Christian. You know, we bury the old life and we rise to walk in a new life. Baptism is kind of like a wedding ring. It's the outward symbol of the commitment you made in your heart, a commitment that has to be followed through and lived out on a daily basis. See, it's not just a commitment for one day I'm baptized, but it's a commitment to follow Christ all the days of your life. And so a lot of times people don't realize that, hey, this is a commitment. This is something that we shouldn't take lightly, but it's also something that we should show as a commitment to the Lord. And so, you know, as we continue to walk to practice of water baptism today as a symbol of our personal and public identification and union with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Going under the water was the burial of your old life. Coming up out of it was the resurrection, God raising you from the dead as he did Christ. When you were stuck in your old sin, dead life, you were incapable of responding to God. But God brought you alive right along with Christ. Think of it as all the sins are forgiven, the slate is wiped clean, and that old arrest warrant was canceled and nailed to Christ's cross. Everything changed. Now, you know, maybe already everything's already changed on the inside, but this is showing to the world that everything, I'm a new creature. I'm a different person. I'm not the same person anymore. Now maybe that's already happened, you know, a year earlier or whatever. Now, a lot of people obviously were saved and baptized very quickly afterwards, you know, in water. In the modern church, that hasn't happened as much, and maybe it should, but, you know, and, you know, that's, and I think, you know, there has been a rebirth of more baptisms I've seen, you know, on Facebook, and I think that's a good thing. Maybe it's because, you know, with modern technology and whatever, you know, they have some mobile baptisms, you know, it's not just a horse trough out back, you know, your church, you know, which some of you have probably been baptized in a horse trough from things like that, so. Anyway, you know, baptism is an awesome experience. You know, baptism is a statement of faith. My old life is behind me. I am a new person with a new life. Water baptism is a sign of repentance. Repentance means change. A change so drastic that the old person is buried. When we go underwater, we bury that old man. And when we come out a new man, or I should say a new man or woman, because they're, you know, men and women both get baptized. But, you know, when we go under, that's saying, you know what? My old life is done. But when I come up, everything becomes new. Water baptism is a way of giving testimony to what has happened inwardly and a clear commitment to turn from our own life, old lives. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss the water baptism candidates at this time. And if you're here today and you're like, you know what? I didn't even know what water baptism means, and I want to join with them. If you'll get with one of the ushers, they'll take you up there. And like I said, I know some of you didn't plan for this, so we have some, you know, we have some stuff you can wear, some scrubs or whatever. But I got a couple more things I would like to say, but you know, we want to go ahead and dismiss them so we can get ready for the service. Water baptism is for your benefit more than God's. Because sometimes we think that we're doing this for God's benefit. No, it's for your benefit. All right, now God is pleased, just like he's pleased whenever you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but that was for your benefit. All right, now God made you know, being, you know, salvation an experience that belongs to you when he sent his only son. You know, you understand this is a fulfillment of what Jesus did on the cross, your baptism. All right, and once again, water baptism outwardly demonstrates what has happened inwardly. Water baptism helps you grasp the reality of the spiritual truth that the old you has died. Water baptism is only as important as the participant believes it to be. That's why it's important to understand what's going on. Water baptism is their confession and a public commitment. Unless the person really believes they died, there is no need for a burial. Unless you really believe, hey, you know, my old man is dead, why are you even going through with this? You don't go through with this because your parents want you to get baptized. You know, because I've seen a lot of times, well, you know, they're having baptism service, you need to get baptized. Well, if it doesn't mean anything to you, then wait till it means something to you before you get baptized. You know, because I think a lot of people do it for somebody else. But it should be, you know, for you. It's about what's happening in your life. Not what's happening in your parents' life or your grandparents' life or your husband's wife or your wife's life or whatever. You know, it's not something we do to impress God, but something to impress on our mind what has happened to us inwardly. Water baptism is for our benefit, not God's benefit. You know, I think sometimes too, you know, I have more of a habit than most people of talking to the devil, telling the devil, you have no right, you have no authority, you know, to attack me. And I think, you know, water baptism, you know, is something to say, Mr. Devil, look at me, I'm a new creature. You no longer have hold on me anymore. I've been crucified with Christ. I identify with him. And Jesus Christ is the one who whipped you up before he came back up. You know, as we are baptized in water, we are in effect saying goodbye to our old self and saying hello to a new creation that is in Christ Jesus. You know, it doesn't matter who you are. What matters is who you are in Christ. Amen. A major benefit to the believer is the clean break that water baptism makes with their past. You know, it's showing that break. You know, sometimes maybe we need to have that symbol to understand this is a break from the old man and you know, now the man is new. And that's why a lot of times when people rededicate their life to Christ, that they want to go back and get re-water baptism because it's another outward commitment to this is how I'm going to live from this day forward. All right. Tom Ellingsworth, I didn't read this. Water baptism is a point of separation, dividing the old from the new. It says the past is dead and gone, drawing a clear line between the old life and the new, graphically imprinted in the mind of the believer. It's an imprint, you know, it imprints. There's something about, no one forgets when they're water baptized. All right. You know, especially if you're baptized in a cold pool across the street that doesn't have water, I mean, doesn't have heat. Dad didn't realize that it wasn't heated when we did our first baptism over there, you know. And so we actually, with the ingenuity here we have at Rhema, We came up with a way to heat that pool. Mainly because Dad asked. Because the first baptism was kind of cold. All right? This is kind of an interesting story, you know, and this kind of shows what we how we need to think as a Christian. Tom Ellingsworth tells a story about a Christian who went on a tour of the Holy Land. When they had got to the traditional site of Calvary, the tour guide explained what had happened during Jesus' crucifixion. Then he asked, "Has any of you been here before?" This Christian raised their hand and responded, "I have." The guide asked, "You have? When were you here?" The Christian replied, "About 2,000 years ago." See, they weren't there, but they identified with Jesus. And baptism is identifying with Jesus and what happened on Calvary and what happened through his resurrection. You know, we need to identify with Christ. And these are words and sermons we always preach about our identity with Christ Jesus. You know, the most important ID you have isn't the real ID. It's the true real ID you have through Jesus Christ. You know, and kind of baptism is kind of showing forth your real ID. Just like a real ID, and if you haven't waited in line for the new real ID, there is a new super center here in Tulsa to help you get a real ID faster. All you got to do is bring 12 examples of that you're a real American. Which makes no sense because you can get on an airplane with a passport, but in order to get a real ID, you got to have a passport and about four other things. Which makes no sense. I don't know. You know, you should just be able to sing Lee Greenwood's song, "I'm Proud to Be an American," and get on the plane anyway. All right, back to the sermon. When something makes a big impact on you, it needs to find an outward expression. You know, if something's really a big deal for you, sometimes you need to express it. It's like, you know, we use our emotion. When something's awesome, you know, like, you know, yesterday watching Oklahoma State beat Boise State, and it looked like Boise State was going to kick an easy field goal, and all of a sudden the field goal gets blocked, and I mean, it was awesome. We had an outward expression. I was screaming. I was pretty happy. Hopefully, I'm going to have an outward expression today when the Dallas Cowboys win, finally. You know, but we're just, you know, but it's an outward expression of what happened on the inside. You have an inward emotion, but if something makes an impact, you make an outward expression. How many times have you made an outburst, you know, on a positive or negative way sometimes, and that's just an expression of what's going on the inside, and that's what baptism is, all right? Jesus's baptism signified the beginning of his ministry. Thus, for us, water baptism is a testimony that we are offering our lives in service to the Lord Jesus Christ. When you're saved, you're not saved to sit. You're saved to serve, all right? I mean, see, a lot of times people are like, "Well, okay, I'm saved. Now I'm on my way to heaven. I got my Heaven Express card." And they don't care about anybody else. But, you know, the Bible said, I mean, we're saved to serve. And a baptism service is like, okay, now that I'm identifying with Christ, now I'm going to go out and I'm going to serve the world. I mean, serve God in the world. Sorry, I don't want to miscommunicate that sometimes. Sometimes, you know, we as ministers say things that are wrong and we end up in a blooper reel. All right, baptism is not effective because you got wet. It's effective because it's part of the process of pledging your unending devotion to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this special time. And we thank you for these candidates that have decided to show outwardly what's going on in the inside. And we thank you for their devotion to Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, for their life. And we thank you, Father, that they identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And Father, we just thank you today. As they go under that water, they're saying the old man has passed away. The new man now arises. And Father God, we thank you that it will be a special time in their life. And we thank you that they'll never forget that time. And, you know, whenever they're facing situations in life on a later basis, they'll remember what happened on Calvary. They'll remember what happened whenever they had that baptism service. And Father God, we just thank you for this opportunity to see so many people express their love for Jesus Christ. And Father God, we just praise you and we thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.